All right, everyone, welcome back to Deeper. This is our 22nd episode, which means we are getting really close to half a year of this, which is honestly super cool in my opinion. It's great to be here. I'm Austin Slater, and I've got Dan back in the studio with me. Dan, good to have you here.
Thank you, Austin. Good to be back again. 22. Yeah, it's gone kind of quickly, but that's great. So glad to be with everyone for all these times.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's wild how fast it's gone. And we keep moving on and changing things. And one of those, you know, as the seasons change, so do our liturgical calendars, as it were. Mm-hmm. So we've just started a new series. Could you just kind of like explain what this new series is as a concept and why we're doing it now?
Yeah, certainly can. Typically, we start something new right at this time of year, start of September, because especially around here, everybody scatters for the summer, mm-hmm. comes back now, and our ministries start up in earnest again. And so we usually like to have a new series to go along with that. And this one's maybe a little more robust, lengthy than even some other ones. We're planning to do a bit of an overview of the Old Testament. The title of the series is called Redemption Storyline, and the idea is to see how these stories, not only what God's doing and what he's communicating to his people at that time, but how it fits into the larger picture of the whole story of redemption, of course, pointing to Christ and how it fits with our story still today as we look back now at what Jesus has done and have Scripture in our hands. And there's several reasons maybe for that. One is, you know, sometimes we just need to reestablish our memory of some of these stories, right? Mm-hmm. And some even pretty popular texts in the Old Testament, and just really go a little more deeply into them, be reminded of why this matters, where it fits, what God's doing at that time. Mm-hmm. Another piece is just to try and see, again, where we are in this story. And it's, I think, in a way, supposed to be helping us to, how do we read Scripture? Because it's very easy to just go, even as we do our devotionals, like, okay, I got my four verses or whatever it is for today, and I go there and I think about that in isolation almost from everything else. And the reminder here is, well, the Bible's a whole, and it's a whole story. And, of course, it points to the whole of history and what God's doing. So I hope in this series for myself, for all of us, we're thinking, oh, yeah, this is helpful as to how we read the Bible as a whole and pointing toward the themes that kind of are consistent throughout that we can always go back to. And we started that a little bit yesterday with Genesis 1, starting at the beginning, and just that reminder from the very first word of this is all about God's relationship with his creation, the whole story, right? And we see, of course, it's really good, as the text we read yesterday, then it goes really bad, and then, well, what's God going to do? And really, the rest of Scripture is about God working to reestablish that relationship, and then once Christ has come, you know, how do we live into the kingdom that's now coming again on earth as it is in heaven? So it was good for me even to be reminded, yeah, this is what the story is about. And first and foremost, it's about God. He's the subject of the very first sentence. He's the subject of the whole of Scripture. And I think as we'll talk about, too, we can get a little off in that in our just human tendencies. A couple of goals for the series there. And we're planning to take it right up to Advent season is kind of like all this is pointing to Christ, and then we're planning to go kind of deeply into thinking about incarnation and Jesus coming to us. So
awesome. And man, on this last Sunday, there was so much material to go over. And I mean, you and I were talking just before we started recording, talking about how like you've done like a three-part sermon on just this passage in the past. So there's a lot of material here. Was there anything, first off, before we get into what you already did cover, was there anything that you didn't cover that you would like to talk about?
You know, one thing, and we had a busy Sunday this week, too. We had several, you know, things going on, speakers, updates from the summer. So even for myself, you know, on the weekend, there's things you leave on the cutting room floor. And one of them is I was going to lean a little bit more into, as creatures, one of the things we learn from the passage is just how dependent we are on God. And one of the ways that's communicated is in the practice of Sabbath. You know, God rests on the seventh day. He completes his work there and rests. And we talk, of course, about this rhythm of Sabbath. And so much of that is a reminder for us that things in this world don't depend on us. I think that Sabbath's not even so much of a physical thing that, oh, you know, we just need to take a break physically from our work, give our bodies a chance to relax. It does that too. But maybe more of a spiritual, psychological, emotional piece to say, you know what, the world is not revolving because of my effort, because of my work. If I'm gone tomorrow, things are going to continue on. it goes around because of God, right?
God is the main character, yes. And I'm not.
Yeah, and we are dependent on him. None of us operates independent, at least this is our belief, of course, of what God is doing and him giving us life. So that was one thing I, you know, maybe just touched on, but I plan to go maybe a little more deeply into it. Mm-hmm. And it's a good reminder for us, just how dependent we are on God each and every day.
Yeah.
And Sabbath's a great practice to say, like, you know what? I can rest, and it's good for me to be reminded that the world will go on without my work and my efforts. And
which is, you know, it's one thing to think, yeah, I need a Sabbath, I need to rest, just because I need to physically rest. But there is that element that you hit on there where sometimes a lot of us were like, if I'm not there, things are not going to function well. If I'm not involved, if I'm not involved, this won't work. And in some cases, practically, that, you know, there may be someone who you need to push a button every day. You know, you work in a nuclear factory.
Sure.
You got to push that button every day so that the refinery doesn't explode.
Sure.
You know, that's important to do. But on the grand scale of things, the world will carry on, and God is the main character. And that's I really appreciate that reminder.
Yeah, and sometimes that can be a hard lesson to learn. We have a lot of business owners I know in our congregation, and, you know, they have a need to be there and overseeing things and doing a lot of that. But even in that role, what does it look like to have the opportunity to step back? And trust that others can step in and be reminded that, even this business that maybe you even established, it's not just about you. And
right.
You know, so I think it's a good humbling reminder
for
us. So.
Well, and that humbling reminder was all the way through this sermon. And you said this at one point, you know, God is the main character and I'm not. And I really love that because I have this thing that I'll use this. I use this saying a few different times where I talk about main character syndrome. And I can have main character syndrome and other people can have main character syndrome. And basically that's this whole thing where you think you're the main character in the world.
Mm-hmm.
You think you're the main character in this story. You're really not. Sometimes your role may take a little more prominence, but ultimately God is the main character. And so I appreciated that, that you highlighted that. And I was wondering, as we look back over just all of church history, because there's so much church history that we can pull from and learn from. Were there times when you've seen the church on an institutional level or an individual level fall into this main character syndrome approach mindset?
Yeah.
And like, are there any like really specifically egregious ones you can think of at this point?
Yeah. Well, and I think we have to be a little careful in casting stones, right? Because it's very easy. We making it more about us, right, than God is kind of what you're leaning into.
Yeah.
And certainly even in Scripture, and as we were trying to do yesterday, say we can see these rhythms, good or bad, in the story of Scripture and in the story of our lives. And this is one we can see in the story of Scripture, right? I've just been reading through 1 Samuel for some of my own Scripture reading time, and the people's request there for a king. We want to be like the nations around us. That's a total, this is about us rather than you, God. And God even points it out because Samuel's kind of despondent. He's, oh, they've rejected me. And the Lord says, they've rejected me, Samuel. And so that's kind of a reminder like, oh, we just want to be like, this is easier for us. This works well for us. And God, you know, goes along with it, which is interesting. We can have a whole other conversation.
Right.
But that's one incident, right? And
well, I think that's interesting, too, that Samuel feels, he falls into this in that moment. He's like, they've rejected me. And God's like, no, they rejected me.
Yeah, it's above you. It's above you, Samuel.
Right. Yeah. I just think that's really interesting.
Yeah. And really, I mean, just about all of our sin, you probably could say would go back to that. But yeah, I know we mentioned before we, you know, came on to record here, too. Just think of a time like the Crusades, you know, of course, you know, not, you know, 700-800 years ago. And just that, like, oh, yeah, this is really good. It even has the, at least the look maybe from the outside of being very religious and, you know, we're doing this for the Lord. But a lot of it was for ourselves. And, like, we want to take land. There's riches there. There's resources.
Right.
And we can kind of give justification for different reasons for that.
Yeah.
We gave the example even personally. When I read Scripture, I can become me-centered and, you know, okay, this is for me and how I read it and, you know, as long as there's something here for me, but and forgetting. And that will lead me on a track of, you know, if you and I are talking about a passage, then, well, I came to this conclusion, Austin, you must
but,
not.
But I came to this conclusion, Dan.
Exactly, right, yeah. Well, you and we're not thinking about God at all.
Right.
We're just, you know, at best trying to defend God's truth, but often it's just defending ourselves.
Yeah.
And that can happen, well, we've seen even interchurch things, right? I think of Europe you know, say 400 or 500 years ago, and just not even just, you know, we still have disagreements about different doctrines and that, but it was to the point,
to the point of bloodshed.
Right, we're just going to take each other out. It's not, we're going to burn you at the stake, we're going to, you know, string you up,
we're going to raise up armies to fight, you know, and, you know, these darn Baptists, like, they got to go. Like,
right, yeah, vice, you know, either way, or, you know, and like, and that's, of course, continued, but that's an extreme version, too, of like, is this really about God or is this about us?
Interesting.
And so, and again, before we cast stones, we have to realize it's always easier to look back and see, like, boy, what were they thinking? And
we can see in hindsight where that is, but it's really tricky to see in the moment.
Mm-hmm. That's why, to me, like, this was really good personally, going to Genesis with the perspective of this series. Like, what's the story and how does this speak into it? And it was really helpful for me to think of, yeah, the opening line of a book or, you know, speech or whatever it might be is meant to open up. This is what the whole is. And to see here, right from the start, this is about God and about who he is, what he does. A reminder I need, you know, reading scripture and for my life. It's about him. And
And that kind of ties into those three P words that you used during the sermon. You know, it's a mnemonic to help us remember how to engage with this practically. Could you give us a brief refresher what that was?
Yes. So this was kind of toward the end of the sermon. We were talking about, you know, us as creatures who are part of the story, the object of that opening sentence, as it were, creation. And, well, what are some ways that we can try to lean into the story? So just three words beginning with the letter P, as you said, to try and help us remember. The first was perspective, our perspective as we're going through life, our purpose, the second P, and then praise, you know, that kind of clear to me what we're made for P. So
does one of those really stick out to you personally, or is one...
Yeah, I think there's a reason I put perspective first.
Yeah.
Probably because that's the one that hits home for me, and maybe it is for you listening, but it might have been the other one for you or one of the others. But perspective for me, I feel that we always need to be checking the way we're viewing things. And it could be just the discussion we had about...
Is this a me thing?
Right, am I me-centered? But some of the perspective, one of the points that came out was, you know, that God's in control. He's the creator of everything, so nothing's outside of his purview and his dominion. And a lot of times, you know, in our context at least, I think I see, we can lose perspective of that and be like, boy, things are just out of control. You know, this power's doing this and this political thing's going on here.
Right.
And we really start panicking. And there's a fear piece that takes hold in a maybe political or, you know, military kind of fashion. And so the perspective of, you know, yeah, there's always wars and rumors of wars, as Jesus would say, but God's in control. And Genesis 1 reminds us, yeah, nothing's happening outside of, there's nobody living unless God says so,
right?
And that's a very comforting and mooring, to use kind of a shipping term, perspective.
Well, anchoring. And that pulls us out of ourselves and out of this me-centered thinking, too, because if, you know, if I'm not running around like a chicken with my head cut off because I think everything's going, you know, to hell in a handbasket, that really enables me to focus on, like, what is God doing in the world with this? And this might be crazy and this might be really bad, but how can, you know, how can I make myself emulate Christ well through this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good point, Austin, because in some ways those fears always go back to that us or me-centered, like, well, yeah, it's never been like this before in the world, right? It's so bad now, and because the leaders are doing this or that or the other, or it's so good on the other side. It goes back to that me-centered view.
Yeah.
And, yeah, just to, like you said, being drawn back to, all right, what's the Lord doing here? And people over history have gone through, when Jesus is speaking, you know, about what's going to come, and just, you know, 30 or so years, Jerusalem will fall. Imagine what that would have been like for God's people then, and seeing that and trying to process it, and let alone you can go through history, right, lots of times when Israel went into exile and God's people were trying to just process that. And you know, for us, not too long ago, thinking about World War II, or even for us on this day, we're recording on September 11th here in the U.S., and like that day really shook a lot of us up who were from this country, and seeing that and wondering, what does this mean and what's going on? And to have that anchor in the Lord, and that he is in charge and he's the creator, and so nothing's happening outside of, and I think one of the, I don't know if we'll even get there, but talking about some of the other ways the creation story was written at the time maybe this was put together, and one of those things was that usually the gods weren't creators of everything. There was always something out there that could come in and mess it all up. And, but that's not the story in Genesis. It's God created everything.
Right.
He takes the waters, which were chaotic and dangerous often, but he just tells them, you're going to go over here. The land's going to be here. I'm going to put the waters up here and down here. You're going to be separated in that way. It's all under God's control.
Mm-hmm.
And that's hard for me to fathom because I'm just a human being.
Right, yeah.
And there are things that I can control, and I often spend way too much time worrying about those things rather than things that maybe I could control. But God's got it all in his hands. As we sing that song we learned when we were young, right? The whole world's in his hands, whole universe.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a very needed and anchoring thing to be drawn back to that for our perspective.
Absolutely. Yeah, thank you. One thing that you did say that I'd like to kind of tangentially move over a bit, you know, as we were talking about the creation story,
mm-hmm.
there are two questions I've kind of got around that. But one of them being, you talked about this. I thought it was really interesting, and I'd love to have you just expound on it a little bit. But at one point you said that it's much less important how God creates. It's important why God creates.
Mm-hmm.
Why did you feel like you needed to make that distinction?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and maybe I'm way off, but I have a sense that we get caught up quite a bit in the how when it comes to creation. You know, exactly how did God do this? This is where a lot of the science versus faith things come in and combat each other. And I think that is a conflict that doesn't need to be there at least as much. And trust me, there's scientific pieces that are, directed kind of religiously in a certain way, but there's just scientific inquiry that's just that. You know, just trying to figure things out. And I think there's room for that kind of investigation and conversation with faith. And those things don't have to be in conflict. So just maybe that's from my own experience and things that we get really caught up. And I don't want to say that's unimportant, like it doesn't matter at all, because I do think it matters. Just like I tried to use the example of people who are in concrete business in our congregation. And, yeah, there's a certain technique you use depending on the job you're doing. But the purpose really dictates that too.
Yeah.
How you go about it is dictated by the purpose you have for that particular job. So seeing that as being, you know, a first importance, that the Apostle Paul would write some years later, that this is why God creates, and he has this unity in mind, and he has our flourishing in mind, and abundance and life, and this relationship, as we said, with us and with creation, and that then speaks into, you know, the how. In my hope would be that, okay, yeah, we might have differing views on, say, something like evolution.
Sure.
Right? And there are plenty of differing views about that. There's even, like, views within the views, right,
yeah,
as you get into
absolutely.
All that. And I think that's okay. Like, we can have conversation. My hope is that when we focus on the purpose, it would turn the temperature down of some of those conversations.
Yeah.
So it wouldn't be, again, maybe getting to that us-centered, like, well, if you don't see things the way I do on this, you're really not Christian, or you really aren't believing in God's word, or something like that. There's going to be different ways of seeing that. It's just going to be the case. But I think going back to that purpose, I hope, is really helpful to see, yeah, this is what matters. This is what God has in mind. This is even what Scripture is about. Because, of course, at the end of the day, Scripture is not about the technique God uses to create. It's about Him who created and why He's done it. Again, that relationship with creation, with us, particularly as human beings. So,
gotcha.
Yeah, that's kind of what I had in mind. And
I think that's so important to mention, because I know that there's a lot of tension that can arise.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, we care deeply. And again, part of this is possibly just that me-centered, you know, main character syndrome thing again. But, you know, that's something that we really care about the how, and it might not necessarily be that important how. Like, it matters. But should it be something that we're escalating over?
Yeah, and if you're listening out there, it's no problem to be passionate. I think a lot of this conversation does come from a good place of, you know, whether it's, we want to be faithful to the Lord and we love His word and want to, honestly interpret that, of course, and apply it to our lives. And so, yeah, it's good. I think the investigation's good. I encourage it.
Absolutely.
And get into it, have the conversations, but...
But it shouldn't necessarily cause division among believers.
Right. Well, and I think in some ways, you know, if that was the focus, there could have been a lot more detail given in the text about it. There's some, you know, but that's not the main focus.
Mm-hmm.
And again, we even said that God's the main character, but he's the mysterious main character. And when it comes to how God does things, that's elusive for us too. I mean, as he confronts Job in that book at the end of Job, you know, were you there when I did all these things, when I formed the mountains, when I, you know, sent the hawk to flight? And yeah, how does all that work? You know, we just go over the passage in Genesis. Well, and then God created the beasts of the field and the creepy crawly things. Like, think about all that, you know, all these creatures and just the diversity. You walk around, the little insects, the birds, the animals, each one of us, and the sun and the moon, the stars, the universe, which is way bigger than we can imagine. And yeah, how does he do all that? it's really beyond me. And and so to get too caught up, just like we talked about a few weeks ago, to get too caught up in the exact details of Jesus' return and how new creation is going to come about isn't maybe as helpful as this is why and this is where it's going directionally. So, yeah, good. But I'm happy to have conversation with people about, I don't want to shut that off or anything.
Right. But there's a lot of good conversation to be had, but again, just emphasizing the like, let's major in the majors.
Yeah.
In a way.
Yeah. And yeah, let's have that conversation in the context of this overall picture. So.
And going now over to context, man, there's so much that could be asked about context and the early books and chapters of, or the early chapters of Genesis. But you kind of talked a little bit about what the other ancient Near Eastern religions had in their creation stories. Mm-hmm. I am not super studied on ancient Near Eastern creation stories. And I, you know, I don't know necessarily how deep your studies have gone, whether in seminary or just as you've been studying, but I was wondering what separates, you know, the Christian, the Abrahamic creation story out from, say, you know, the Sumerian or, you kind of talked about one of them being the conflict.
Right. And let's preface this by saying I'm by no means an expert on this either. I've done some reading, but there are others who could speak way better about it. So I'm probably just going to try to stay general here.
Okay, that'd be great. And,
you know, I think in a lot of ways the exclusivity of the one God who made everything, that comes through clearly. And even in the New Testament, Paul points when he visits Athens and he's talking there in a place where there's lots of other gods, like there's one God who created everything. You're still hearing that difference. In that, because some of the other stories had, you know, maybe one principal creator God, but then there was always somebody else. It'd be like if in the Genesis account, it was like Satan was always there too.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he was doing his thing over here, and God's like, I'm going to make something bigger and better to kind of overtake yours.
Right.
That has some of the ring of some of the other stories, but that's not the case. The picture is that even Satan himself, right, who we picture as the enemy, of course, is a creation of God. Right, and the angels themselves, which is kind of beyond our human purview, are creations of the Lord. So that kind of unrivaled creation.
That was also as I understand it, you know, Christianity was the first, well, technically Judaism was the first monotheistic religion, as I understand it, which was really kind of ground shaking to a lot of those cultures.
Yeah, still unique. In a lot of ways, certainly in the New Testament when Paul's going, and kind of this idea, they were called atheists, the Christians often, because it's like, well, you don't worship all these gods, you know, what are you even talking about? And even still today, we just have this tendency toward, I want to dabble in a little bit of everything, right?
Mm-hmm.
One of the other differences too, getting back to the thought of just creation, is this idea that God created everything good, and good, and it's very good, he says, you know, and a lot of the other stories bring in, like, well, again, it's getting back to that other point of, oh, there was this malevolent force, or this guy kind of was out for their own good, so they did things this way. But God creates very graciously, even. He even says to human beings, like, I'm going to give you authority over my creation, essentially, and it's going to be to your blessing, and be fruitful and multiply. And so there's a difference there, even the graciousness that the Lord comes and creates with versus some of these other stories and traditions that kind of show the God, either one being very separate, like, oh, I'm just going to do this here, but I'm going to stay separate from that, or, well, I'm just going to do this, and it's all going to come back to me, and you're going to kind of be my slaves, sort of thing. So that's very general. If you're interested in more reading, there's stuff out there, and there's people who are way more knowledgeable about some of that history and writings than I
do. I really appreciate you giving what little knowledge you have is leagues beyond what little knowledge I have. So I do appreciate that that insight and that perspective. What are we looking forward to next week? Where's the next stage set?
Yeah, so we even have a timeline, or actually a pair of timelines, up in the sanctuary at this time to help with the visual aid, and the categories will be going up along the way. So we're going to move to the patriarchs this next week in Genesis 12. And actually, Pastor Tim's going to be preaching this coming Sunday, so I don't know exactly where he's going to go with it, but it's a powerful passage because this is when God calls Abraham and sets the course for what he's doing. And again, you think about the relationship God with his creation. At this point, of course, sins come in, and we've already had the flood even, and it's not going well. The last story before Abram is the Tower of Babel, which is, boy, this looks really bad. And so God's going to do something new. How is he going to restore that relationship? We're seeing a picture of that now in Abraham, and the purpose, as God says, you know, I'm going to bless you, and I'm going to bless the nations through you. So I'm looking forward to that, and just learning from what Tim's going to share in the power of the Spirit this week. But that's kind of how we're going to go. We'll probably have a couple weeks with the patriarchs because it's a bigger section, and then kind of going to the story of Israel's formation, then with the monarchy with David, Solomon there, and then the prophets and exile and all those things. Even in 12 weeks or so covering the Old Testament, is you're scratching the surface, but I'm really looking forward to it.
Me too. I cannot wait for it. I hope all of you guys are as excited as I am. One reminder for all of you guys listening, if you happen to miss a sermon, whether you weren't, you know, physically here, I know we've got some folks who listen who don't actually attend Friendship. So if you're not physically here, you can listen to those sermons. They're posted on our YouTube page. They're also on Spotify. I'll add a link in the show notes. And very soon on our new church website, we've got that hopefully coming online in the next month or so. And there will be a kind of sermon archive there, so you can all catch up on all of that there. Thank you, Dan. Thank you, audience. It's so good, as always, to gather together and to learn. Blessings on you all as you go through your week.